Hello and welcome to the Gamers Inn. I'm your host, Ryan, and this week I have a few guests. Jocelyn is still a little bit under the weather, so send her, send her your good well wishes. Oh, something's trying to start up here, too. First off, joined by James, or Iagovos. James, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you? You all right?
I'm good. I just a little tickle in my throat. It's funny because I've been staying up late trying to play video games, which I'm sure Jocelyn's trying to do as well. And then at the end of it all, having a swig of NyQuil. And then...
A swig?
A swig. You know, like what? A swig is like a little capsule, right? So it works.
I don't know if that's true.
You know?
Yeah. I think a swig is like a mug.
No, no, no. I think there's a bit of a lost in translation going on here.
Oh, okay.
But what happened is I had a swig of, a drink. No, that sounds worse.
That
I had some NyQuil
worse.
Before bed, and I was having an apartment showing this morning at 11 a.m. I woke up at 1:45, and basically what I had to do was roll over, put the same clothes on, and show the person around. So that was fun. But yeah, and also, for the first time, we are joined by Eric Mahler. It's not Mahler, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, it's, good.
Got it right.
That
it's
sounds
Mahler.
So much better than Mahler.
Well, it's fine. I'll take either way.
Is it Mahler then?
Yes.
Okay, good. I probably should have made sure before I made fun of the other way people say it.
People say it wrong my whole life, so I've given up getting, you know, I'll just take it. As long as you refer to me, I'm happy.
Well, Eric,
hello.
Welcome to the show. I'm happy to have you on here. I'm a big fan of your work on Mr. Mom Daily and also newly Nerd Parents. And
yeah,
even,
thank you.
Even what was it, Frumpus Brothers? When's that coming back? I need to know.
Oh man, I don't ask my Frumpus brother.
Okay,
so
I'll ask your Frumpus brother.
Yeah,
how's it going?
It's going well. I'm feeling good. How are you?
I'm pretty good, although minus the whole weird like throaty cough that's going on. But we're not here to talk about diagnosing Ryan's latest ailments. We're here to talk about video games. Specifically, the newest release on the Wii U. James, I know you're super jealous, but Eric and I have been playing Mario Kart 8.
I guess.
Oh, it's so great.
So good. It's the 8th edition, of course, of Mario Kart, which sounds crazy to me.
I know. I was surprised. I even though I've been playing Mario Kart 7 on my DS, for some reason, it didn't really hit in my head until I saw Mario Kart 8, and I was like, oh, holy crap, there's been a lot of these games.
Yeah, it's nuts. And I actually did the same thing, was playing... I didn't get a chance to talk about it on the show, but I've been playing Mario Kart 7 in preparation, and it really surprises me how close those games are in terms of the way it controls and the way it looks. Now, it's interesting because this is sort of something that Nintendo gets, you know, made fun of a lot for doing. Oh, they're releasing the same game over and over again. But for some reason, the two games that are coming out this year on the Wii U don't quite get that that treatment from people. It's Mario Kart and Smash Brothers. Do you have an opinion on why that is, maybe?
That's a good question. That's true. They do always kind of do the whole Madden next year's, just add a little bit of tweakiness to it and then re-release. But I guess they do, with every year, I said doo-doo.
I let you off with doo-doo once, but I had to get you on the
twice.
Second one.
I'm sorry.
He's like, they didn't react. I gotta do it again.
Okay. What was I trying to say? They don't release it more than once on a single console, generally. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, they never have.
No, it's always one per console, you're right.
So there's at least a bigger change in graphical intensity and sometimes in control, because controllers change. Like the Wii was a big change, doing that with the nunchuck thing. And so maybe that's part of it. I don't know.
It's just, I don't know. Like I was asking that question before I actually got my hands on Mario Kart 8. And I think you did the same thing, Eric. You downloaded it at midnight, played it for half an hour, and then fell asleep on the couch. At least that's what I did.
I played it for like 2 hours and then... Which was a really bad idea because I had to get up the next day to take my daughter to school early in the morning. So it was very zombie-ish.
Coffee was had. In
oh, yes.
Gulps.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. Well, it's the thing that really caught me right at the beginning was that this game is solid and it feels that way and it looks amazing. Like, you look at the PS4 and the Xbox One and those games look great. They look very photorealistic.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at Mario Kart, and it's probably one of the best-looking games I've played this year so far.
Agreed.
Like, wow. Maybe even a little bit better. Like, Second Son looks great, and technically it's amazing. But there's something about that, you know, Nintendo and HD that just, it really pops.
Yeah, I was having a similar thought when I was playing. I was thinking to myself, this really shows the value of art direction and polish. Like, it seems like they polished this to get... I've never seen a super egregious bug in a big Nintendo release, you know? Mm.
Or at least, there have been a few, but not ones that have been so
not
crazy.
Not game-breaking ones.
Not that I've experienced.
Nothing that you might often see in, like, a GTA or a...
No.
So, which are just... I mean, and what can you do? It's an open-world game. But with most big Nintendo releases, those things are so polished, and their art direction is usually really good. And it just... Mm-hmm. I was just playing and noticing. It's like, man, this is just good stuff.
Yeah, it seems like it's actually, to put it in context, it's been a year and a half since the Wii U launched. And mm-hmm. I think this
has
is
it
the
really?
It has been. It, which wow. is a crazy long amount of time to wait for what I think is the first Wii U game where I can say that you should go buy a Wii U. Like,
yeah.
Before with Pikmin and with Mario, even with Super Mario 3D World, like, I felt like it still wasn't enough.
I think if this was a launch bundle, mm-hmm. that would have made a huge difference, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there would have been a lot less Wii U talk. And I don't know what it is. Like, maybe Nintendo just can't get their ducks in a row for the launch, so they go out with what is technically a good game, New Super Mario Brothers, but mm-hmm. it's not what sways the people who like to sit on the fence.
Can I ask a question as a non-Wii U owner? How similar to the 3DS does the Wii U control?
Well, that's actually a great question. Being on
depends.
The Wii, exactly. It depends on what your preference is. Going back to like Smash and Mario Kart being mm-hmm. two games coming out this year, those are also the two games that Nintendo doesn't mm-hmm. shy away from including as many control schemes as possible.
Yeah.
I've been playing with the Pro Controller, mm-hmm. Which is fantastic. Definitely the way to go. That thing is basically an Xbox controller. It feels great. Mm-hmm. Eric, you playing on the Pro as well?
Yeah. I've tried several. I had my family over here yesterday? Doesn't matter. Recently. And we all played Mario Kart 8 together, and we had, I only have the, you know, the gamepad and the Pro controller. So for the mm-hmm. other two people, one of us had to use an old Wii nunchuck thing with a regular Wii remote on the other end for like mm-hmm. a throttle. And that worked fine for them because they had the joystick to do like subtle moves. And then I took the bullet and steered with the other Wii remote I had, just kind of, you know, like a steering wheel, old school. Mm-hmm. And that worked fine, too. Actually, I did fairly well. Not as well as I think I could have, but, you know, there's at least four different ways that we were all utilizing at the same time.
I'm just wondering if, like, so Mario Kart 7 came out on the 3DS, what was it, 2 years ago?
It might have been three or four.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm just wondering if the Wii U controller pad works similarly enough to the 3DS mm-hmm. control that they didn't really have to focus on the controls as much, and they could put all their effort into making the game as polished as it is today.
Well, I don't know. Like,
The setup's the same. Right mm-hmm. trigger is drift.
Yeah.
Left is use. I mean, it all when you're just using a standard, you know, controller or gamepad. It all mm-hmm. feels like you're doing kind of the same thing. Mm-hmm. The control felt great any way I've played it. Mm-hmm. I didn't ever feel like I was struggling through poor controls.
The controls, there's really an option there for everybody. And when you're using the gamepad, mm-hmm. I never raced with the gamepad. That thing is too bulky to be able to be, in my mind, it's too hard to be able to maneuver. Mm-hmm. with those shoulder buttons and the fact that your thumbsticks are spread so far apart.
Yeah.
But I have the gamepad in front of me and as I'm playing, because the one thing Nintendo really needs to do when it comes to playing games on their system is just disconnect that gamepad. I cannot stand staring at this bright screen controller that only lasts for 3 hours being on while I'm not using it. It bothers me.
Yeah, I often just set it down on the charge deal and pick up my Pro controller.
And it's not doing anything. It's a screen, and I almost feel like I'm using it. I'm not like it's sitting there using up its life expectancy on something that doesn't matter. And one of these days, it's going to conk out, and I'm going to blame the fact that Nintendo made me have it running every time there was a game playing. But it shows like a giant horn, which is fun. But also, I noticed that there's these three panes on the right that show your view, the map, and everybody's placement, and also the switch to TV button. And on the left-hand side, it shows the rankings of everybody, where they are in placement, and also the item that they have. So it's a lot of key information all on that screen, and you, I could imagine if you were racing, you could look down really quick because you have that little side view to keep, you know, focus on what's happening, but also see all the little stuff, and you can actually like click on them to get enlarged views of the different options. So it's a little more creative than what a lot of people were saying in the sense that it just had like a giant horn, but it's still not enough to make me want to play with that giant ass tablet.
And every time I've looked down at the little screen to see any of that other information, I've run into a wall or something because I'm like, oh, right. I look up and I'm like, oh, crap.
Yeah, I've run into a few walls in Mario Kart, and that game, if you run into anything in the third lap, you can kiss goodbye to first place.
Oh, yes.
It's a lot of fun.
But I feel like there's fewer blue shells. Have you noticed that?
I think,
or maybe it's just me.
And I think they tuned down the AI on that blue shell because I've had it actually win some races for me in the sense that it'll hit the guy in first, and then I'll be able to cross the finish line.
Blue shell's ridiculous.
It's actually pretty cool in the sense that a couple times when I'm in first, I've gotten that horn item.
Yeah, I got that once.
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm set. I'm sitting here with this horn, and if there's a blue shell that comes at me, you can squeeze that horn, and it negates the effect of the blue shell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's the anti-blue shell.
Blue shell's got nothing on the horn.
Yeah, so now there's going to be a meme about the horn, and then the blue shell can go away.
Yep.
But really, when it comes down to it, it's like, okay, what's the difference between Mario Kart 8 and Mario Kart 7 or Mario Kart Wii? And when it comes right down to it, it's like any other Nintendo game. It's the graphics, it's the sound, and the roster's different. Oh, and also anti-grav, which, I mean, is very cool.
Very cool. Doesn't change the game a whole lot, other than sometimes I'm tilting my head when I'm racing.
Yeah. I streamed a bunch of it on Friday, and I didn't have my camera, but like literally there are moments in the game where you will go sideways, and the camera sort of shifts, but not enough that that it bothers you, but not enough also that you kind of have to start playing like this. And it really adds a new dynamic, right? So you're like, oh my god, this is really weird. And and it doesn't punish you. It's very forgiving in the sense that when you get up on that wall, it sort of auto-corrects you, and when you get off that wall, you know you don't have to worry about landing on your side. You always land upright. You don't lose any speed. It's very Nintendo-like, but that goes back to my question in the sense that why is it that there's only those minor changes, yet nobody gawks at Mario Kart for doing that when
how much
the Donkey Kong
can you
game...
do with a racing game, though?
True. Yeah, that's a good point. But, like, that is...
I mean, Need for Speed doesn't really iterate, or Burnout doesn't really iterate. I don't really think there's a lot you can do with a racing game.
Yeah, I suppose you're... That's a good point.
Yeah, it is a good point. So they give it a pass because, it's kind of... Yeah, okay. Though, like, is it with Smash, is the reason they give it a pass because it's just so beloved, and if they were to change it too much,
I think so.
Throw
because,
GameCube controllers away?
With Brawl, you had, like, weird changes that they made, like, with the tripping and with the weird air dodging that ruined, like, the competitive scene. I think that they're just... the hardcore Smash players are just happy that they're keeping it to what they know.
Yeah. I think with Smash and Mario Kart, the Wii U is now a system that's on more people's radar. It's by no means going to surpass the PlayStation or the Xbox One. I think it's always... The Nintendo console is always going to be that second console you own, or mm-hmm. not your main. Like, I'm not planning on picking up Watch Dogs on the Wii U. Like, I think Ubisoft's doing the Wii U a favor by releasing that thing, even if it's going to be delayed till the fall. But I don't know. I really like it, and that bundle that's available is such a great deal.
Yeah, I got buying it before July. What is it? 11th?
Yeah, I forget what the date is. You have to reserve. Either you buy the bundle, or you buy Mario Kart, and you reserve. You add it to your Club Nintendo account. You get a choice of a free game by July. You have to register by July 31st, and then you have
31st.
You have to pick your game by August 31st, and then you have to redeem your code by the end of September. So they're giving you a lot of time to sort of like think about it.
What is that? 4 months?
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Yeah, they've been very generous with their Club Nintendo. They did it on the 3DS a couple times too.
Yeah, they did it for Pokemon.
Yeah, you buy Pokemon, you get a free game. I think they did it with back when Animal Crossing came out. If you buy Animal Crossing and another game, you get an older 3DS title for free. It's a really great way for Nintendo to sort of get people to play some of the lesser known or lesser liked titles. What did you end up picking, Eric?
I got Pikmin 3 because I already have the other ones. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my only choice. But I wanted to play it anyway. I've had maybe an hour just to check it out and open it up and say, okay, this is Pikmin, and then come back to it later. But I had played the Wii one before, and this looks like more of the same good stuff. So I'm looking forward to playing it and getting my hands dirty.
It was one of my favorite games last year because it's just been so long since I played a Pikmin game, and it was really nice to experience Pikmin on an HD console. We kind of had to drag ourselves as Nintendo fans through the Wii days because those games, the first few years, you dealt with it, but like in later years, you just got sad at what the Xbox is doing and what the PS3 is doing. Yeah, sad's a really key word, and I think I'm just overjoyed that when I pop in the new Nintendo game, it's going to look really good.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on Pikmin, because it's one of my favorite franchises. It's like a cult classic of mine. I really like it, and it's not given enough attention by Nintendo. I mean, when you're releasing a new Mario game every year, I know Mario games sell, but I'd like to see them put more effort into keeping Pikmin alive.
Right. Yeah.
But one of the cooler features for Mario Kart is something very un-Nintendo-like in the sense that you can, after every race, you get like a highlight reel. And it's all data-driven. You don't, it's not, you can actually edit your highlight and choose to focus on specific characters. Have you played around with that, Eric?
Oh, yes. And let me tell you, when you're playing couch co-op with friends, the highlight reel is like the best, almost the best part of the whole deal. Yeah. I mean, you're having fun in your racing, but when you're all laughing at each other at the end and then saying, oh, you did that to me, and oh, look at you go flying. We were just laughing our heads off, and it was a great deal of fun.
Yeah. You know when you like use your red shell or you get that sweet hit with the green shell, you're going to be able to experience that again at the end and see that highlight clip.
It's super slow-mo.
Yeah, James, what you can do is you can actually control it. It's so well done in the sense that on a lot of replay services just show you and maybe you can rewind, but it's like hit and miss in my mind. But with this Mario Kart game, you're given full control. You can actually slow it right down and it looks amazing. And you can just see the agony on Toad's face as that green shell just knocks him off his cart, and he just
I hate to make the example, the comparison. It's like an esports spectator mode kind of thing.
Yeah, it's actually
When you're racing around the tracks, you'll see these little dudes with cameras that say Mario Kart TV on them, and that's actually the cameras that you're going to be viewing the race through. And it's kind of neat. When you're driving through, there's so many tiny little details I could go off on. But that, one of the neat little details is when you're driving, you'll see the camera kind of focus on you and follow you along the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
They put tons and tons of tiny little just graphical neat little details into the races.
That's something that I think is my favorite thing about Nintendo. Even if they're not going to make something super new or improve, they're going to make it iterative. They still put in all those little bits of love, and they try and make little tiny details matter.
Mm-hmm.
Even if the game's not something necessarily massively new, there's still those little bits that make it feel like a Nintendo game, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that's something missing from a lot of the bigger titles. Like in Call of Duty, you're not going to get like the little side room that has some cool little poster up there to, you know, to be like, oh yeah, remember Call of Duty 2 like 16 years mm-hmm. ago and 32 versions ago? I mean, Nintendo's always had that, you know, that charm where
they can make you feel the love they put into their games.
Yeah, and it feels like there's a lot of love in those. I was trying to make a dirty joke, but not at the same time. But I'm gonna walk away from that. Yeah, okay. But the best part about the highlights is like not only can you watch it and sort of like revel in the fact that you basically, you know, put Toad into a coma, but you can also export it to YouTube. And it's so un-Nintendo-like. You know, I remember
that seems crazy.
Yeah, I remember when the Wii U, I set up my profile, and in my Miiverse profile, I put my Twitter name, which is a public Twitter account. And I got, like, I almost got banned for it. And here they are now, letting us, like, export clips to YouTube. It's really weird, but...
And, you know, I saw that, too, and when I was about to try it out, I was expecting kind of a slightly... a cumbersome way of doing it, just because the way Nintendo is with internet. Mm-hmm. Not that there was going to be a whole bunch of disclaimers and agree to this and all kinds of whatnot, but it was
friend code.
Yeah, something. But man, it was simple and just worked.
Yeah, it was very fast. Well, it has to like process the video, and the uploading could be a little quicker. But you know, you're mm-hmm. right, Eric. It's just it's very un-Nintendo like, and it really showcases that. I think Nintendo is looking at what the competitors are doing and saying, shit, mm-hmm. we got to get on this.
Yeah,
Go
ahead, Jacobus.
I wonder if that points towards what they're going to do with Super Smash Brothers as well, then.
Yeah.
So I can see that having some cool YouTube stuff, too.
I hope that that they do that, because I feel like Nintendo lately has been saying that they're going to try and share their technology among their own teams, be less separate. Mm-hmm. Because all these teams are sort of spread in different buildings. I think they moved them all together, at least for E3, I think, is what their mm-hmm. goal was. And I remember that Brawl had some sort of replay functionality, but I could be just remembering that.
Because I don't remember that at all.
You don't remember that? Okay, I should have looked it up, because I was actually talking about it yesterday. And I think they did, but I could be mistaken. But yeah, you're right. Like, if they had that export to YouTube for the Wii U version of Smash Brothers, I would love that even more than Mario Kart. You know, if I had to choose between the two, I would much rather Smash have it, because there are those moments in Smash where something happens and the shit hits the fan, and one person who thought was going to win actually ends up dying, and you win. It's a really great feeling, and it's nice that Nintendo opens the gates to people who don't have capture cards and don't have like streaming capability on their Wii U. They can share that cool clip with their friend. It's a really nice touch, and it was certainly not expected of Nintendo, you know?
Okay, so Super Smash Bros. Brawl did have a replay function.
Oh, okay.
But it only worked, weirdly, if the match was lasted less than 3 minutes.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's when its memory ran out? They could only handle so much... weird.
Yeah, it must have been. Weird. Oh, well. Yeah.
It's a bizarre little
limit. You'd think after, like, matches longer than 3 minutes would have an even more exciting conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Although, like, I'm trying to remember if it would ever last longer.
Because timed games could only go up to, like, 3 minutes, couldn't they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's probably was just a Wii thing, and the fact that it's in there, you know, bodes well for this version.
Yes.
And
it does.
The fact that the Wii U is a little, you know, it's beefier than the Wii. Not as much as we'd hope, but enough so that I think it would make a big difference, and we maybe get a full functionality.
Mm-hmm.
But any more thoughts on Mario Kart? Because I think that, I think if I check my watch, yeah, the Gamers Inn only supports about like 20 minutes of Nintendo talk. After that, I start to get a big flashing message saying, you are paying attention to Nintendo too much.
I I could go on for much longer, but I will just leave it at what we said. I love it.
I'm pretty sure the show self-explodes.
If I was to buy a Wii U, if I was to say I want to buy a Wii U, would you say that right now with Mario Kart, it'd be a good time to buy a Wii U?
If you've got the cash, man.
Yeah, that's the only that's the big thing. And
yeah.
So I have the cash for a Wii U.
Let's see the cash. Let's see the money.
Hold it up.
Hypothetically, I have the cash.
Do this at least, or you can't see. You're like, do that. Pretend. Yeah, he got it. That's a good.
Yeah, I have the cash for Wii U. Would now, with Super Smash coming up and the Mario Kart 8 out, would now be a good time to buy a Wii U?
Does
Mario Kart 8 put it over the?
Maybe because that whole get a free game thing. If you want to play that Zelda as well, if that interests you, that was
Wind Waker.
Yeah,
That's James's game. That's his jam.
Because I've been going through that and it's super pretty.
Yeah,
it's the game you know.
I do like that game.
I think if Jocelyn were here, she'd say that I'm asked this question every time I bring up a Wii U game on here, and I think this is probably the first time where I can say that without a doubt that this is the game that makes buying a Wii U like sort of an easier argument. Like Eric said, with that free game deal. I've been telling people that because that free game deal is available past E3, I would even wait until E3 is out and see what they have coming in the horizon, because really, the only thing we have is Smash in the winter. And Smash was originally slotted for the summer, so there's got to be something happening.
Well, it's coming out on the 3DS in the summer as well.
Well, I just mean specifically on the Wii U, because Nintendo's been really good at releasing a new Wii U game every 3 months. And that summer slot is wide open, and I don't think Hyrule Warriors is going to cut it. At least I hope not. I'm kind of hoping for a first-party title, but...
What do you want to see Nintendo show?
I don't know.
What's your like wish list?
I would love another Metroid.
Yeah, that's me too.
Metroid would be fantastic. Zelda, I'm not crazy enough to even mention it because I know it won't be out this year. They're going to show it, but that's like a year away. Metroid would be fantastic. Man, I hope they don't pull another Donkey Kong where it's like, we know Fire you wanted Emblem Metroid. Fire Emblem would be great. Donkey Kong is great, but I don't want them to be like, here's the new Donkey Kong instead of Metroid or Zelda, you know? Or maybe they'll do it with Star Fox, I don't know. But Nintendo is not to be counted out until they've left the ring. I think they're good for now.
Star Fox Adventures Wii U?
I actually like that game.
Yeah, me too. We were talking about it the other day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Star Fox Adventures was that rare game that had the dinosaurs. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I liked it. I know a lot of people didn't, but it was so Zelda-like that I think that's why I kind of dug it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd like that. Well, that's enough Nintendo talk. James, you've been shooting robots.
Yes.
And how has that been for your self-esteem?
Good.
Good.
So
I know it did wonders for me when we were playing the other night. I was like killing things. I was like, I'm starting to get this. And then I died.
So I like my games are super arcadey and super like dumb and explosive, and that's exactly what Titanfall delivers. You jump into a game, and then a minute later you get into a giant three-story high robot, and you're punching guys in the giant robot, and you're using a jetpack, and you're running really fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's so... I love Titanfall so much, but I can't put it into words, apart from that it's a total dude game, you know?
Well, it looks so much fun. I really want to play it.
It's so good, man.
So we're playing on PC, we should probably mention.
Yes, yes.
Do you have a PC that is capable of running Titanfall, Eric?
I do not. I have a computer that gets by, but I think Titanfall would make it cry.
Oh. Well, it is a really good game, and surprisingly scales really well.
Yes.
You could... It probably wouldn't look amazing, but I mean, on a lower scale system, I mean, they got that thing to run on the 360.
So yeah, that's true.
That's a good point.
Got to give it some sort of credit, but the game has been on sale lately on Green Man Gaming, right?
It goes down to like $30 pretty regularly, and it's if you can afford it and if you can play it, I highly recommend it, especially if you want a game that's just super just it's fun. I mean, I jump in there each day for like half an hour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's tempting.
And just so, and if I mean, if I'm going to sell it to you, Eric, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sell it to Eric.
Okay, bring it.
Let's watch him, and then and then he'll switch his camera so we can see him buy it.
I'm putting on my stern, cynical face.
All right.
Okay. So first off, you start off and you are in a you're just a guy, right? And you have a gun and you have a jetpack, and you jump out of a spaceship onto a battlefield with like 100 men on it. Okay.
Then you run. Okay. What happened to the cynical face, Eric? It went away pretty quickly.
Sorry. And then you're both running. You're both running at each other, and you see like other men dropping down out of like capsules in space. Then you see your like little AI guys. Because there's 6 players on each team, right?
Right.
And that doesn't sound like a lot. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a little match, but it's not, because of how you have AI everywhere fighting each other. And then 2 minutes later, you're like, oh, this robot says Titanfall is ready. So you press the V button, and your giant robot jumps down. You run at your giant robot, and you jump into it, and you have a massive chain gun or rocket launch or 40mm cannon just blowing stuff up. It's so cool.
Man, it sounds awesome. Damn it.
And like, I'm a big fan of the Transformers, right? And there hasn't been a good like first-person Transformers game. But it feels like when you're inside the Titan, like you're playing a Transformers game.
Yeah.
Fighting each other.
Oh, I've heard nothing but good things. The only reason I haven't gone after it yet is because I don't have an Xbox One, and I didn't think my computer would handle it. But man, if I had something I knew would run it, I would be all over it. Mm-hmm.
It's too bad there isn't an option for you to try it out. That's always been my my issue with PC games, especially since there's never a given that it's going to run on your system.
Right.
Yeah. A way to just test it out and see if it works.
The ability to rent PC games or to like through like an online kind of service would do wonders for the PC industry.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, another good thing that can be said about Titanfall is that it's, like James said, it was super quick, in and out, and it's one of those titles that employs the old Bungie saying of 30 seconds of fun.
Like, yes.
Whether it's you running and gunning, or it's you getting in your mech and, you know, being in your mech, your Titan, solely is the 30 seconds of fun rule, in the sense that sometimes it only lasts 30 seconds, but it's the best 30 seconds you have in that match, where you're just going around and shooting people and stepping on dudes and, you know, you get your opponent down into the, what is called the critical zone, where their Titan is about to explode. You have a shield, then you have armor, and then once your armor goes away, then you have, what'd you
say? 10 seconds before it explodes.
Yeah, and what you can do is when they go critical, you see that on your HUD, and you can, like, instead of punching them, you reach into the Titan, grab the dude out of the Titan, and just orange juice him. He just goes everywhere. It's
really cool.
Fantastic. I have a question. I from everything I've seen, I get the impression that there are several different kind of strategies or ways to play, depending on just the way you feel like having fun or the way that you get comfortable with the game. Is that is that so? Like, can you play one way and someone else on your team could be playing a completely different way?
For sure. Like, so I like to be up in everyone's face, being really close to them, and being up in like just, you know, up in their face, like a shotgun kind of. Have you played much Call of Duty, Eric?
No.
I was going to say it's very similar to Call of Duty in the way that someone could be sniping, I could be up in their face, someone else could be.
I played a great deal of Uncharted multiplayer. So the shotgunner dudes who just run up to you and go and take you out.
Yeah. So you can do that, or you can have someone sitting across the battlefield sniping, or you can have someone running around, like, backstabbing people. It's very much a you can play how you have fun type of game.
Great. Cool. Yeah.
It really supports that if you want to get in your mech, you just do enough damage to get in your mech, and that's where you have your fun. Or if you're more of a sniper, you can snipe. Or if you're more just that you really don't want to get in your mech, there are ways for, I think the best part is it's completely balanced, in the sense that if you just want to be, if you're like on your pilot and the entire opposing team has mechs, you as a person have the ability to take out one of those Titans. Now, Eric,
you have to be quick.
Well, okay, this is what I want to before we spoil it for him, Eric. Now, how would you think a small, measly little pilot would be able to take out a 3-story robot
with a large boomstick?
A large boomstick. Well, that's true. You are given an anti-Titan weapon, but That doesn't sound very fun, especially since the giant smile I have on my face, it doesn't quite match. Really what it is that you can jump on the Titan, rip off a portion of the control panel, and you just freaking putting bullets in that guy until that Titan, until all of its armor is gone, and you jump, you get the hell out of there.
And that's something that they do very well in Titanfall, is even if you're not playing very well, you feel like you're contributing to the team really well.
Mm-hmm.
And the Titans feel super powerful, but you can still take them on when you're by yourself. It feels they made every single player in the team feel relevant to the game.
Yeah,
oh man, that sounds so awesome.
You know what? I'd feel bad if I hope it runs on your computer because it sounds like we're making you go buy it.
Oh, don't feel bad. I'm happy to. Every purchase that I've ever made, which not very mean, I've made just a few, but every time I bought a game and. It hasn't worked. I just thought to myself, well, that's for my when I get a better computer list.
Yeah. I mean, I probably shouldn't think about PC games like that, but when I see a PC game, so I'm like, I could buy this now, and later on I can play it later, you know?
I did that for The Witcher 2.
I own it. Oh, dude, yeah, The Witcher 2 is so good.
I did that with The Witcher 2 as well.
Yeah, I was like, you know, and you know what? If you could run The Witcher 2 on your computer, I'm sure Titanfall, like...
I can't.
You can't run Witcher 2, so Witcher 2 is in that list.
Yeah.
Well,
it was cheap one day, and I was like, oh, "That looks awesome." And then it runs just not well, and I couldn't really play.
Witcher 2 is a beefy game. It really is.
Yeah, that too. It's not well optimized either, I think.
Ew.
Whereas Titanfall is a little better, but yeah, we've been having a lot of fun. It is only multiplayer. That is something.
Which. I don't like, per se, but I don't have much of an issue with it, because I feel like it's a game that I play for half an hour. It's not a game that I'm going... When you think giant robots punching each other, you don't think, oh, I want to see the in-depth intricacies of the story of these robots. You think, I want to punch other robots.
Right.
You don't really go into it looking for a story.
Yeah, I'm not much of a multiplayer guy, but if the multiplayer is good enough, or if it's done well, I'm all in. Like I was saying, the Uncharted 2 multiplayer... I was all over that. I played that for hours, and this seems like a game I could totally jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm not a multiplayer guy, I feel like I could get into this one.
Well, I mean, the game is certainly improved by the fact that you're playing with buddies on Skype. That's the only time I've ever had fun with this game is when I'm playing with other people. I
feel like it's a great game to play. You sit there with a beer, and you'd be like, let's get five guys and let's just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you talking about five guys, the burgers, or just five other dudes?
Both.
Oh, both. That does sound good right about now.
It does. Yeah.
Damn it.
now I'm going to go buy Titanfall and a hamburger.
There you go. That's true. That sounds like a winning combination.
You guys are it does. It
most
really does.
Most expensive podcast ever.
That's true. We won't even talk about Watch Dogs then, because that's kind of on my list of I really shouldn't go buy it, but I kind of want to.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same.
Yeah, but we'll wrap this up. Chat room has a question. How's Titanfall versus Hawken?
Now, if I'd played Hawken last night when you asked me to, I'd be able to answer this one more easily, but I feel like I can answer it, so I'm going to give it a go. I feel like Hawken is a lot more team deathmatch kind of style. It feels more like the Counter-Strike of the robot series, while Titanfall feels like the Call of Duty of the robot series. Titanfall is very much... in the action, 30 minutes, you're done, 30 seconds, and you're done. Mm-hmm. While Hawken feels like very calculated, very much, this is the objective, this is what I have to do, this is how I'm going to do it thing.
Yeah. The big difference, I played a little bit of Hawken last night with Sir Joel Duggan. Yes, he's been invited. And it was interesting. It's solely robots. You are the robot. And it's a free-to-play game, and it also gives you a bunch of options to outfit your character. Which for me, not interested in. Some people love to min-max that stuff. Me, I was like, no, let me shoot guns as a giant robot. What are your thoughts on that, Eric? Like, do you get into the whole like min-maxing of items in games like that?
It depends on the game. Like Diablo 3, I do that a lot.
Okay.
I don't know if that's just it speaks to me in that way. In other games, I've just gone with the game that looks fun.
Well, but, Diablo is like, it really
improves
it.
That is the game.
Yeah, and the reason it works in Diablo is because you can go crazy, or you can literally boil it down to the amount of green that shows up when you compare items. And that's how I do it.
Right.
Yeah, that's how I do it too.
Yeah. Like I can't get into the numbers, but I'll be fine with just, like, we talk about playing Smite on occasion, and it's like, I have no interest in going anywhere farther than the auto buy for items. Like, that's just, no. Yeah, I can't do it. But yeah, Hawken's all right. It's free to play, so I certainly you have
don't lose anything by giving it a go.
By giving it a try. And if you want your robot fix without the five guys, you could try Hawken.
I feel like Hawken is a lot slower than I think that's how I put it. Hawken's a lot less arcadey than Titanfall.
That's a good point, because something we didn't mention is that the Titans, Eric, they move really quickly. Like they're not like, you know, Iron
Giant.
They're
not lumbering. Slow.
Exactly. No, they are fast. Quick on their feet, and some more so than others. Mm-hmm. But why don't we wrap this up? This is what we're playing. I want to quickly hear about a story about my uncle, because this game interests me.
Yeah, me too.
And it looks fantastic, and I love, you know, we've been given a lot of light to the big guns. Let's look at the indies for a bit.
Okay, so made by Gone North Studios and published by Coffee Stain Studios, who are the guys behind Sanctum.
Oh, and Goat Simulator.
And Goat Simulator, yeah.
Oh!
It's a first-person platformer, which uses, like, a grappling hook.
Oh, cool.
Oh, right.
And basically, you are a dad telling a story to his son about his uncle. So you're the dad, and you're talking to your son about the dad's uncle. Uh-huh. And how he went missing one day, and you went to go and find him. And you're like, you get teleported to this place, and you're looking around, and I'm not very far into it, maybe an hour. But basically, you're searching for this place, and it's awesome. It's like, I don't know, the grappling hook feels like the grappling hook from Metroid Prime.
Ooh, yeah.
I like kinda that.
Yeah, it feels great for a first-person platform. The only issue I have with it is you don't have any legs, so it's really hard to tell where you're going to land.
Oh, so you can't look down and kind of judge. You're kind of a floating camera.
Yeah. But if you're... I mean, I love first-person platformers. I really do. And it's a great one.
Oh. Man, I'm looking at screens for it, and it looks so pretty.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some textures are weird. Like, some boxes look out of place.
Mm.
Ah.
So, but is it... how's the story? Because it's got story in the title, and I kind of like to think that the uncle, you know... Is it a good story? Or is it like, is it kind of like Gone Home and that Brothers game kind of story? Or is it like a lighthearted?
It's not, I don't know if I'm far enough into it yet. So I met a little girl named Maddie she's like called Mad Maddie. And she's like, there's a village that you find deep underground. And Fred, your uncle Fred was there.
Okay.
And he went missing. He disappeared. And so now you're looking for him with this girl, Maddie. And I haven't really heard a lot yet. We left the village and went through the chasm, which is terrifying, by the way, because it's just pitch black underneath. It's like you fall down, you fall for miles and miles, and you can't see anything.
Hmm.
But it's sparse. I don't know if it's just because I haven't gotten anywhere, but it's very much told through, like, the things you find, or kind of in the same way, I don't know if you play a lot of Dark Souls, but kind of the same way that Dark Souls was. Hmm. The story's there, but it's not in your face.
Do you need to seek it out, you would say?
Yes, yeah, okay. Yeah.
But is the game, like, is it a lot of fun? Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes, the platforming feels great. So you have a boost jump, you have a sprint, and you have your grapple, and I just found rocket boosts as well.
Mm.
So, like, you run, and then you jump, and you shoot your grapple, and the momentum from your jump swings you across. Mm. So it's very much like, it's very calculated platforming, which I love.
How long does it take to retry when you fail a platforming attempt? Or is it like zip you right back and you can try again?
Let's say you fall for like 2 seconds, then you're back on your platform. There's no load time at all.
Oh, nice. That's
That's
a big plus.
That's key.
All the load time is hidden in your falling.
Oh, really? So it's not like Mirror's Edge, where every time you failed, it's like, oh, God, I got to look at the EA logo.
Go make a sandwich.
Nope.
Yeah. As opposed to, you know, that's a good point. Like, the Trials games are really good for that. When you fail or you didn't quite make that jump the way you wanted to, boom, you're restarted. So that's actually a great question. So indie. So you would recommend this to people to check out?
Yes. I mean, if you I apologize for the little bit of a shameless, but I actually did a quick look of it yesterday.
Be shameless. Where can we see this quick look?
It's on the Indie Love channel as under an Indie Investigations as a story about my uncle. If you want to go and check that out, it shows the game off pretty well, I'd like to think.
I do. And it's $12 on Steam right now, 10% discount.
So, yeah, so, I don't know, $8 now. And it's very much worth it.
Cool. Well, I think I've had this thing installed. I heard people talking about it on, I think, Rebel FM, like, 3 years ago. And it was available as, like, an alpha version. You could download it as, like, a test game. I had it on my computer for the longest time, and I never booted it up. So now I'm like, well, I actually finally removed it. It's like, well, now I can actually play the real game. So
yes. If you have $10 to burn, I mean, well, not to burn, but $10 that you have to put aside for a game, I recommend it, especially if you love first-person platformers, because there hasn't been a good one in a while. I've been jonesing for like Mirror's Edge 2, and this is filling the void for me.
In my mind, the void it would fill for me is the need for a bite-sized experience that I can easily complete.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mario Kart, Titanfall are both games that are never going to be done, and I can always go back to them. Watch Dogs is a humongous beast that I'm not ready to tackle yet. But something small like this, I love supporting indie devs. You know, I like to talk about indie games as much as possible on the show. Because I can only talk about Call of Duty as much as some people can stomach the advertising. But, I'm interested in this, so I'll probably check it out.
So I'm 94 minutes in, and it looks like I'm on the third level out of five. So it's not a long game, but it's difficult. No, the platforming is hard.
I really like a lot of games that have been, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours. That's I hear a lot of people complain, but that's a great amount of. I think that's fantastic.
Especially it gives for me the price point. I mean, what is that? $2 an hour? That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, how much do you pay for a movie?
Exactly.
And not only that, it gives it's far easier to get a more collected, resolved story altogether. But like, Assassin's Creed 4, by the time you get to the end, I have no idea what happened at the beginning of the game.
We're
pirates, I think.
Something. And
yo-ho-ho and a bottle of, I didn't quite get the last part.
I forget. That's not important.
It's true. That's a really good point. And I think that's why I just need a palate cleanser of like a very short, a very short, quick experience while still, you know, playing something that's not on a billboard down the street. You know, sometimes it's nice to play something that's not mainstream.
For sure.
So that's cool.
It's well worth it. I very much enjoy the time. I mean, it gets frustrating at parts where, like, you can accidentally pull your grapple, because you have to use momentum to use your grapple. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can hold down the grapple too long and you'll just be pulled into the object. So it gets frustrating, but I think that's a sign of a good platformer that you really want to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like a Meat Boy type thing where, you know, it's not the game's fault, it's your fault, and you need to, you know, it's rewarding when you finally do get it.
Yes, absolutely. Cool. There was a bit earlier where I had to beat the part without using a grapple, which was super hard to do, but really rewarding when I did it.
Oh, cool.
I love it.
Well, you know it's what? Good. If Eric's going to go out and buy Titanfall, the least I can do is go out and buy a story about my uncle. I just want to say thank Doghouse Systems. Jocelyn and I really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. They just announced the cool Alliance Horde PC art, and it looks amazing. And you might even notice that there's a certain orc and a certain tiger on the Horde one. Use the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM when you purchase a new gaming rig. Head on over to DoghouseSystems.com and get your order on. Awesome. We're probably going to skip over our topic, but I wanted to give Eric a little bit of time here. You, good sir, are a parent, correct?
Yes, sir.
That is a correct statement.
It is true. I have fathered children.
Fathered children. And he knows of them, unlike the jokes we sometimes say on this show. Not about Eric, about me. So you do the Mr. Mom Daily podcast and also Nerd Parents, where you kind of talk about your kids and the life of being a stay-at-home dad. Mm-hmm. And something that's always I've always wanted to ask you is, like, gaming. Is that obviously it's still a thing, as is a testament to our What We're Playing segment, but
Yes.
How does having kids impact the way you play games?
It depends on the time, how old the kid is, mm-hmm. and it depends on the game. So when they're just barely born, you can just kind of hold them in one arm and play, and you're fine. With, you know, they're like a little football. You're good. And then
don't throw them. Spike them.
Don't throw them. Keep them there, nudged in your elbow, and you're fine. They get a little older, and they start getting, you know, you have to chase them around. Granted, it's going to be a little more difficult to find time. But if I can do it, anybody can do it, because my kids run around like crazy people. Yes, there you probably will have less time if you become a parent, but it's not like you're never going to play again. You're going to find time. Just like anything else you are passionate about, if you love video games, you're going to find time. I often, like, I stayed up, you know, late to play Mario Kart, and that wasn't just because it was at midnight launch. It was also because that's when my kids were asleep. Or there's been a few times when I have also stayed up or gotten up early just because I want to play video games. But I don't always have to do that, but sometimes you do that.
Would you think that maybe having kids influences what you just said about having a shorter game story as well?
Yes, actually, that's a very good point. It does. Because then I can get in and I can have a wonderful game, and then I don't have to worry about, oh my god, I got 40 hours left to go through this, and all the other games that I'm going to want to play while I'm taking much longer than everyone else is going to take to get through this. And then the other way that having a kid changes the way you might play a little bit is, you just might make more tactical choice decisions when you're choosing which game, depending on how mature it is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have a 7-year-old, and I'm not going to play a game where heads are getting blown off while she's hanging out. I mean, she and I play Mario Kart, and it's a grand old time, but I'm not going to play something super violent in front of her just because...
You're not going to have Resident Evil playing where she's just wandering. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I don't want to give her nightmares.
That's
my point. So... It might make differences, but at the same time, they do eventually go to bed. So that's when you go and you watch your nightmarish, crazy video games.
And when they get a bit older, it's a co-op buddy.
Yes, exactly. And that's what I have now. And it's awesome, actually. My daughter and I have so much fun. We play Minecraft together and other games. It's just, if people worry about having kids, it doesn't take away your gaming. It just kind of changes it. I mean, if you love video games, you'll find a way.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also a testament to what Nintendo's doing in the sense that we can play those games no matter what. When a new Nintendo game comes out, we know that you're going to be able to enjoy it with the younger audience present, or even with a controller in hand. And you can still have fun. It's not like a kiddie game just because a 7-year-old can enjoy it, you know? Which is not true for every game, but when it comes to Mario Kart, it's a really good example. That's good. I'm glad we got that out there. So people, don't rush out and start having kids just because we've confirmed you can still play video games.
No, dude.
It's too late. They're going to go out and buy Titanfall.
They already paused it.
And they're going to start making kids.
Oh, God, I hope they paused it. Because, man, you do not want to have kids of this. I made it weird, didn't I? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. no, but I don't want to take away from how awesome a discussion this has been. I'm really glad we were able to get you on, Eric, to talk about that.
Thank you. I was really glad to be here.
Cool. So one more plug here for Slash Loot. If you want to show your TGI pride, head over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com to grab yourself a Gamers Inn t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including designs by Carter Johnson, like Best Pals, as well as all your other favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, The Morning Stream, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. Before we wrap up, we have a 5-star review. I haven't checked these in a long time, but evidently we had a couple. 5-star from Bobby McGee. Cool name.
That doesn't sound like a real name.
I was going to say it's
same
gonna thing.
I wasn't going to say it. Bobby McGee is, again...
1-star review next week from Bobby McGee.
If it is your real name, I'm not making fun of you, but Bobby McGee is sometimes the name that I pull out when I can't think of a name.
Really?
What's that guy's name? Bobby McGee? Anyways, I'm
glad. Saying this was you that gave this 5-star review?
No.
Dude, Mick, what's his face?
Yeah, dude, Mick, what's his face? I'm sorry, Bobby, if you're... Maybe he's the one of the guys who paused it. Nice, warm-hearted fun. Awesome work. Thank you, Bobby McGee, for leaving us that 5-star review. Another thank you I have to send out is to Derek Robbins, who is one of the patrons this week, our featured patron. And if you want to be just like Derek, who has joined us for Gamers in Game Night a couple times, playing Smite and Diablo, you want to be the same as Derek, as awesome as Derek is, go to patreon.com/thegamersin. That's about it. That'll do it. That's the show. Eric, where can the fine listeners find you and your podcasts?
You can find my podcast at MrMomDaily.com, mm-hmm. and you can find me on Twitter at EricMahler.com.
Cool.
And I have a website, EricMahler.com. Oh, I already said that. I did.
I don't think your Twitter is EricMahler.com,
yeah.
is it?
No.
But your Twitter is at EricMahler,
yes.
which has
yes.
changed recently. We were having a bit of confusion pre-show about that.
Sorry about that. Google my name, you'll find me. That's where.
And NerdParents is NerdParents.com.
Yes, okay. That's and I'm just a regular. That's really Nicole Spag's show.
For sure.
But you can find me on there sometimes.
But you're on it, and that's
I am.
That is good.
Yes.
But you're right. It is Nicole Spagnuolo's podcast, part of the Frog Pants Studios network. Mm-hmm. James,
Yo.
Sir James, as I should say, because you are British, unlike Joel Dubbins.
Yes. Yes.
What is up?
All Brits are automatically united. Not much. I do stuff too.
What do you do? You should tell the fine folks.
I should. I do a podcast called the Initiative Trek Podcast, which is kind of like Gamers In, only not as
it's British.
Well produced. Yes.
Well, there's one British person.
There's one British person, but as you know, everything else was British at one point. So I like to say that everything else is British too.
Yeah, that's
like,
a good
Canada. Thing. Canada's British and America's British.
We try.
British by association.
Yes, exactly. And I also do a website. I'm the lead content creator at IndieLove.com, which is just 100% indie games.
Oh, good, good. Which
yes.
is where a story about my uncle, we can find that quick look.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, full circle. It's all there.
Yep.
And you're on
yep.
Twitter at Iagovos.
Yagovos.
I always say Iagovos, but it's Yagovos. The I is silent, people.
Yes.
Good. Awesome. Well, you know what, folks? This has been a fantastic show. Visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can also find us on amove.tv along with our other, it's not mine, their other fabulous podcasts, including Into the Nexus, Campaign Roundtable, Biggest Fan, The Angry Chicken, and Amove Radio. Follow us on Twitter. You can find Jocelyn at GIS Gamer, myself at R. Murphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/JocelynMoffett. I almost said The Gamers Inn. You should totally go subscribe. There's also a Facebook page and a Google Plus page if that's what you like to do. We posted that as well. Email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com, and we will read it here. Before we go, I just wanted to give a quick shout-out and thank you to Greg Moffett for creating our music. Find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Joel Duggan. Joel Duggan, who does all our graphic work. I had to do it twice just to get it right. You can find him and everything he does at joelduggan.com. Whew, that's a mouthful. I don't know how Jocelyn does it every week. She's a better woman than I. Thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. And it's hot
I should
in
hope
here,
she's a better woman than you.
It's really hot in here, guys. I closed the window. I shouldn't have done that. And I am probably... I've already passed out, and this is all a dream. Which is weird. Why would you dream about closing your show? But thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn. And remember to tune in next week. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Bye-bye.
Someone opened the door.
Sorry.
It's all good.
That's me.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
I don't actually play the music. I add that in post, but that's good. Now I don't have to.